If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Now, we started a series of messages. It's been a few weeks ago, and so if you missed the first two of those, you can go back on Facebook, the 5 Mile Community Church page, and go back there and pick those up. And then we've gotten some other things that got inserted along the way, but what we're looking at is what the Spirit specifically said in the book of Acts. Four times the Spirit spoke. We looked at the first one to Philip when he went to see the Ethiopian eunuch and the direct leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And then to Peter when he was told to move out and the whole gospel message would go further than just to the Jews but to the Gentile world and make a tremendous difference. Well, we find here now in Acts chapter 13 and verses 2 and 3, we find the next time that the Spirit speaks. And here's what we read. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. As I said, we're taking a look at what the Spirit has spoken and how the Lord has spoken through the Spirit directly. And in this case, what we're seeing is the Spirit is saying to combine talents, to join together. Now, this occurred in the context of a prayer meeting, and I believe that prayer meetings are still a good idea. And we encourage you to join us Wednesday night right here. I'll be a part of other ones as well. I appreciate the fellowship of those who come Wednesday night by Wednesday night, and thankful for that. And we believe that God is at work. In the context of this prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit first of all said that we need to be aware, separate to me. Now separate to me, Barnabas and Saul. Now a number of years ago, when I was in high school, I was a part of a scouting program, not the Boy Scouts, never became an Eagle Scout, but it was called Christian Service Brigade, and it was a Christian scouting program. And one of the things, one night, I remember getting into a discussion with the leader, because when I think of separate, I think of separate from. What do you do when you separate? Well, you, like if you're separating from people, you go a different direction. You go away from. If you separate items of food from other items, then you're moving those things away from the other ones. And I remember that discussion. It made a very big impression on me, because he said, we don't just separate from, we can separate to. And that was a new idea to me. Now, he was actually conveying a very important biblical truth. We could look at this, we could say that, okay, the Spirit was saying, what you all need to do there in that church is to separate Barnabas and Saul from yourselves. We're going to take them from that church and move them out. But notice what the Spirit said. The Spirit said, now separate to me. That is the other side of separation. When we separate from something, we can also separate to something as well. In fact, I'm convinced that this is why some people have trouble in their spiritual life, because they know that when they serve the Lord, they're supposed to separate from evil. And so they pull back from those wicked things that they used to do, the evil things that they used to do. So the things that we did before, we do them no more. Remember that chorus? I haven't sung that for a while. I'll have to sing that again. The things I used to do, I do them no more. How many of you remember that chorus? All right, well, half of you. We'll have to sing it again then. Anyway, remember that, Samuel. We'll put that in. Anyway, so we separate from those things. We don't do those things anymore. We stop. But if our focus is stuck there, separating from, then it is easy for Satan to come in and say, well, don't you miss the fellowship. Don't you miss the fun you're having being a part of it? And say, well, these things are wrong. We shouldn't be a part of it. Yeah, but... And then our focus, that's what our thinking is stuck on, and we're stuck there thinking about the things that we separated from. Far better for us to separate from those things and separate to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that changes our focus, for we are no longer thinking about the things of the past. We are now focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and the mission that He has called us to. And notice that's where the focus is here. The Holy Spirit was not focused on separating them from the church. In this case, there was nothing wrong with the church, of course, being a part of it. But He was saying, I want you to separate these two to Me. I want their focus to be changed. And so the focus is no longer going to be their ministry in the church there. Their focus is now going to be ministry as missionaries in other places. They become separated too. If we're going to have victory in our Christian lives, we're going to have to recognize that it's not just a separation from wrong things, it is a separation to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if we become so busy living for Jesus and for the things of Jesus, we won't have time for those old things anyway. But where our focus is, that's where our attention will be. And if we're focused on the stuff we've left, we're still giving it our attention. We need to focus on that which God has called us to do and directed us forward, and that is what will get our attention. Now, He said not just to separate, but also to combine talents. Separate to Me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. Now, these were two very different people. We probably don't have as much, well, I know we don't have as much information about Barnabas. But what we do have, Barnabas is the one who went after Saul. And when other people didn't trust him, they're pretty skeptical because of his background. Well, we might be too. He's the one who had Christians arrested. He is the one who'd been trying to undermine churches. He was the one that was trying to promote a strict Judaism and saying anything outside of that is wrong, and I'm coming after you. Of course, we know the Lord changed his life. But there were some people who had trouble. I'm not sure about that. And even when the Lord changes a person's life, do they have the experience that they need, really, to be serving the Lord? In fact, sometimes we run into that today, right? We say, well, you know, we'll just wait and see. We'll see how they do. But it was Barnabas who stepped in, the Bible says, went and got him and brought him down and got him involved in ministry. So it was Barnabas. Now, we don't know how much discipleship Barnabas did. We don't know all that was involved. But what we do know is that Barnabas was a salvager of people. He was willing to take a chance, probably was a people person, described as an encourager, someone who was going to step and come alongside. Paul, on the other hand, at least my understanding of the Apostle Paul, was like a driver. Mission-oriented, task-oriented, going to get this done. We're going to move forward. Doesn't matter the sacrifice, it doesn't matter what it is, we're headed forward. That was two very different personalities. We see later that they did clash. But you know, here's what the Spirit said. We're going to take two people who are different and put them on the same team. Isn't that interesting? We might think, well, no, wait a minute, I ought to take two people who are similar, and they would know how to get along. But that's not how God said. God said, what I want you to do is I want you to recognize the differing talents. Realize that these are two different people and they're going to work together. Now, this really describes the kingdom business and the work of the church, doesn't it? Because we're not all the same. We have differing talents and differing abilities. Let me just give you an illustration. I think probably most of you that came tonight, I'm looking around, probably everybody that came tonight, and then if you're watching online, you probably have one parked outside your house, You have one of those things called a car, or maybe a truck, or whatever it is. Now, your car, your automobile, your vehicle is made up of a whole bunch of different parts. They are not the same at all, but they are designed to work together in harmony. Now, you can go down to the parts store in town, and you could buy all those parts. Well, they might have to order a number of them, you know, get them sent in. But you could get them there, and you could collect them into a big pile in front of your garage or stuff them in your garage, and you will not have a car that works because they don't work together. There are a bunch of different parts. All those parts are there, but not until they are put together in harmony and work together do we have what the Lord wants for His church. And so here He took and created this missionary team, people who were different, and put them on the same team and said, we are going forward, and the Lord would lead the way. Now, that's been going on for the whole life of the church. One of the things that I have been thrilled about across the years of ministry as a pastor, and that's this: the church is not built by the pastor. Oh, the pastor has a key role, things that are responsibility and so on, but for the church to be the church, it requires everybody to be a part. And we're not the same, but that's okay. Because what the Lord wants to do is to take you with your talents, your strength, your ability, and combine them with other believers to accomplish the work of the church. Isn't it an amazing thing? I'm thankful that that is the case. Now, there are those times when people have been called to stand alone. I think of John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness is how he's described. The voice of one. There are those times when we will have to stand alone. And so we do need to know how to stand alone. But I'm thankful that for most of the time, we don't have to be alone. There'll be a team. There'll be those others, Christians, brothers and sisters, who will come alongside and help us be a part of ministry. And isn't it easier when there's somebody else? Okay, nod your heads. It is. I remember a number of years ago. In fact, Brother Street mentioned it last Sunday morning when he was sharing about earlier ministry in Guyana. He had invited me to be a part of a teaching team that was going to Guyana to teach pastors on site. Down there in Guyana, they couldn't, it wasn't feasible financially, it wasn't feasible with their families, those kinds of things, to pull them out of the country and send them to college in Trinidad and that kind of thing. So it made more sense to go where they were and do the teaching there. So I was asked to teach preaching in Guyana as a part of that team. So I went down there, and then they decided that it would be most efficient to not have us all the same place at the same time. So they would move us around. So what would happen would be they'd have one teaching center, one spot in the country, and then 1 week Brother Street would be there, and 1 week I would be there, maybe not quite a week, but anyway, the several days were necessary. And then the third coming in, Brother Cecil, and that would cycle the teachers so that they would come to one place and they get three different sets of instruction during that time. Well, that was fine, and I appreciated that approach and ministry. I was having a good time. I was in New Amsterdam, and it was time for me to move to the upper quarantine area. Now, communication at that time was really bad, okay? Cell phones didn't exist, and so how they got message around and so on, I'm not even really sure. But I had my stuff packed because it was time for me to go, and then this car pulls up and says, well, we're supposed to take you. I said, okay. So I got in the car and stuck my bag in the back and that kind of thing, and off I went. And I realized partway, I don't know who in the world this is. I'd never met them before. I don't know where I am. I knew where I was, but I don't know where I am. And I don't know where I'm going. I know where I'm supposed to be going. But I have no idea, having never been on this road before, never been in this part of the country before, I have no idea And I was saying, you know, Lord, you better be in this car with me. Now, what I found out, this later, probably a good thing I didn't find this out till later. Because communication had been poor, somehow wires had gotten crossed. And so that, the pastor there had put me in the car and sent me on to wherever we're going. And it was only a few minutes later, another car pulled up and said, I'm here to pick up the preacher and take him to the upper quarantine. And it made the pastor very nervous because he had just put me in that other car a few minutes ago and sent me on. And he's thinking, oh, no, what in the world? Wonder where he's going. And that situation, there wasn't any phone you could just pick up and call and that kind of thing. And just sort of had to wait. Now, I'm obviously here, so it worked out. And we did get there in the upper quarantine area. And they, because of the nature of the situation, had arranged ahead of time that I should not be left alone. It would not be safe. So they had arranged for a fella. And he was a big fella. I was glad he was a big fella. And he basically was there sort of as my bodyguard. He wasn't a real talkative individual, but he loved to play dominoes. And so in all the spare time, we were playing dominoes. So that was always glad for class to start. but anyway, I really appreciated the fact that they had thought about that ahead of time. There was somebody with me. Now, he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a teacher. He was a layman in the church. What was his skill set that made him the right person to be with me? Big, strong, and he was. And he could be my bodyguard, person there with me. Plus, he knew where I was supposed to go, and he would get me to where I needed to be, and those kinds of things. I was thankful for that situation. Now, he may have thought, I don't have any particular talents. I don't have any, great education. I don't have those kinds of things, But at that moment, I was really glad that he was there with me. And we became good friends over lots of games of dominoes while I was there in that short time period. I expect I'll see him in heaven. I don't know that I will see him before then, but I'm thankful. The church is made up of all kinds with different talents, but as we work together, God's work is accomplished. Which brings me to the third thing. Oh, there's the, you can think of a car and all the parts. I said, go to work. That's the third thing the Spirit said. Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. There is the call. Now, sometimes that becomes something that we think it can get so highly spiritualized that we think that there's going to be some kind of ecstatic moment when God's going to lay a particular call on us. And then, of course, in this case, that was the situation. But for many Christians, it's not some particular ecstatic moment in time. It is a step-by-step following the open doors of the Lord, going forward faithfully in walking with Him. Now, let me just tell you, that's even true for people who have experienced a particular call. Now, I have. That was a part of early on when I was in college, and I wanted to be a scientist. I've told you that before. And the Lord redirected my life. But after the Lord redirected my life, there were an awful lot of steps that I had to take through open doors. It wasn't that I had some kind of divine inspiration. It was using just the going in the direction that I believed the Lord wanted me to go. And if there were times when I was headed the wrong direction, the Lord's closed doors. And He has just stopped some things. And it was obvious then it wasn't supposed to go in that direction. We need to be faithfully walking forward in the direction that the Lord has pointed us with a goal of accomplishing what He wants us to accomplish. Do we always know what that is? No, in fact, if you'll read through Acts, you will find out that the Holy Spirit did not give Barnabas and Saul a big game plan ahead of time. He called them to the work. And then as they set out by the Holy Spirit, verse 4, then they went down to the one city and then moved on to the others. And the Lord guided them and led them as they went along. But they didn't know the end of the trip from the beginning. They just knew to move out serving the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those that likes to have things all planned out ahead of time. I like to know what's going to happen. Okay, nobody else is like that. All right. Just me. You know, so this takes some faith and challenge to follow the leadership of the Lord. And I am thankful for His leadership across the years. But you know what? I'm thankful for Five Mile Community Church. I can honestly say that when I came, I did not expect to be here this long. We had never served any place that long. The longest that we'd ever been in a church before we came here was 5.5 years. And so I figured 5.5 years seems to be a good number. We'd been at 2 churches 5.5 years and 5.5 years. I thought, well, another 5.5 years. But you know what? The Lord has kept us here, and we have enjoyed ministry with the church here. And we're so thankful for all of you, because it is working together. Now, are we the same? Nope. No, we're different. And we've got different talents and different abilities and different things. But it is when we step forward with the goal of working together in the church that the Lord helps to accomplish His mission. Now, let me just tell you something, and I'm not bragging, but it might sound like it, and maybe it sort of am. But I am proud of Five Mile Community Church and the community as well. Pastored here a long time, this is our 27th year, and in the community, this church has a good reputation. And I'm thankful for that. I mentioned this morning, I was visiting with Teddy Edmonds last week, and he was thanking me again for Five Mile and for Five Mile praying for him while he was serving in the legislature in Frankfort, which we did. And you know that, there again, I'm going, yeah. Thankful for the church and what it means in the community and how God has blessed and how God has worked. And you may not know all that, but I get to be proud of Five Mile in this community. And I appreciate that. It's a wonderful thing. And I don't want to take that for granted. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for being a part of those who have separated from the junk of the world, separated to Jesus, joined the team, combining talents, and being a part of the work of the church going forward. And let me just tell you this too, because I'll do it again. When we get to the conference, one of the things I get to do is report for the church and brag on Five Mile, the people of the church, and what God has accomplished. And we're thankful for that, and I'm thankful for you. Just want to know that. The Holy Spirit is still working in our day, isn't He? And you know, as we go forward, He may call us, lead us in a particular direction, and we may say, wait a minute, Lord, I maybe don't think I've got those particular talents or whatever, but the Lord generally brings along somebody else, puts the team together going forward, and says, combine the talents, work together, and do the work to which He has called us. So it keeps our focus in the right place, moving forward. Thank the Lord. Our machinery, that's us, working together. And then the motion that happens. Going back to the car, you've got a steering wheel. The Holy Spirit's the one holding the steering wheel. We are a part of the machinery that makes things happen in the church. And the church moves forward under the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. Will you stand with me tonight? And Lord, as we gather together tonight to worship You, we are thankful for the body of Christ, this one right here, Five Mile Community Church. And I'm thankful that across the years, there have been those who have said, yes, we'll get involved. Yes, we'll be a part. They've taken steps of faith because their confidence has been in You. You've called them to be a part. And Lord, we praise you for that. As we look back across the last few years and then the last lots of years, we are thankful for all those who have invested in the life of the church. Well, we're reminded tonight, Lord, that the mission is not over with yet. You haven't come back yet, and so we need to continue to go forward. And so again, I pray for your blessing on each one who's a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Lord, you know that tonight we have some who are a part of our congregation, but they're not physically right here. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to sense that camaraderie and that part of being the church. And as they minister where they are located, I'm praying that you'll bring some people alongside, that we can see some cell groups and some expansion and again, an advancement of the gospel for your sake, Lord, and for your glory. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd come alongside. Help us to be sensitive to your voice as you lead and as you guide. Help us to understand that you've given us the talents that we have, and we don't have all the talents. But as we put those together in teams and in the work of the church under your leadership, the church goes forward in the grace of God. And so, Lord, I'm thankful for each one, both those who are right here as a part of the local congregation and those who are a part of our online congregation as well. And I pray, Lord, for your great blessing. And this week, may we be reminded again that we are partners together in kingdom business. In Jesus' name, amen.